Today we're going to start off reading, talking about godly mothers teach their children. We're going to read Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 15. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read His Word with His plans for motherhood. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." That last verse 20 is extremely important. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Father, bless the children and bless their mothers today, especially, Father. Use them for your glory, that their children might rise up and call them blessed. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. There are many commandments given in the Scriptures, but the first commandment with a promise is found when the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." The command that was given was to honor your father and your mother, and the promise that went with the command that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honoring your father and your mother is not a suggestion. It's a command of God. It's not you honor your father and mother if they were really good, godly parents. It's you honor your father and mother regardless of what kind of parents they were. I hear so many children telling me the reason they're in trouble is because of their parents. No, it's not. The reason you're in trouble is because of the choices you made. Some people have literally, I guess got to use the word, awful parents, but they turn out to be excellent people. Other people have wonderful parents and turn out to be literally terrible people. We each are in charge of our own choices in life. Yes, our parents can affect us. There's no doubt about it. But don't blame your habits on your parents. Be careful to honor them, because you'll live long in the land. You'll have a long life. When children's parents tell them, "Don't run ahead of us, walk on the sidewalk with us," and that child disobeys and runs and gets hit by a car, guess whose fault it was? It wasn't mom and dad. It was a choice that child made. There's a poem called "What Is a Mother?" It takes a mother's love to make a home, a place to be remembered no matter where we roam. It takes a mother's patience to bring a child up right, and her courage and her cheerfulness to make a dark day bright. It takes a mother's thoughtfulness to mend the heart's deep hurts, and her skill and endurance to mend little socks and skirts. It takes a mother's kindness to forgive us when we err, to sympathize in trouble and bow her head in prayer. It takes a mother's wisdom to recognize our needs and gives us reassurance by her loving words and deeds. It takes a mother's endless faith, her confidence and trust, to guide us through the pitfalls of selfishness and lust. And that is why in all this world there could not be another who could fulfill God's purpose as completely as a mother. And perhaps that was never lived out more faithfully than the life of Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. Many don't know the story behind Abraham Lincoln's faith in the Lord, but when he was a baby, his mother told her husband she would rather have Abe read the Bible than to own a farm. They grew up in abject poverty. They had literally nothing. Well, that mother passed away when Abe was just a little teeny boy. But he got a stepmother that felt exactly the same way. She wanted Abraham Lincoln to read the Bible more than own land. So those two women in the backwoods raised up a little boy that got rid of slavery in America. Folks, the foundation laid in a life can come back to make a huge difference in multiple lives. It's extremely important we understand in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck." Those of us that were blessed with mothers that lived by God's principles, I mentioned earlier, my mother didn't become a Christian until the age of about 84, but she did live by godly principles, and she raised us to do right. Those of us that had that kind of a mother need to praise the Lord, because not every mother is that way. As young children, we watched our mothers battle with people who maybe offended them, and sometimes we would ask our mother, "Mom, why didn't you get even with that lady for what she just said to you?" And maybe you heard your mother say, "Son, if you always try to get even in life, you'll never get ahead in life." Folks, the wisdom that our parents put into our hearts was learned from their parents who learned it from their parents. One of the blessings of being a Christian is we get to pass the knowledge God allows into our hearts to those next generations. I never thought I'd live to be a great grandpa, but I am. I and Mimi, I think, have 8 or 9 great-grandchildren now, and we get to put into their lives. What a blessing that is, to put into your children's life, see them grow up, put into their children's life, and now they're the third generation. I don't expect I'm going to make the fourth, but I praise the Lord for every opportunity, and I know Mimi does too. God's Word says in Romans 12:17, this is mother's wisdom, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.' On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I had 6 older brothers, and they all taught me how to fight. Because boys do what? Boys do a lot of fighting in life, don't they? But I had a mother who told me, "Jerry, you don't have to get even with everybody. Sometimes you just need to ignore it." And that helped me a lot. I still got in my share of fights, but not near as many as I would have if I thought I had to make everything right. There is a God that says it's His to avenge. We don't have to get caught up with everything that's going on. And so mother's wisdom is just a blessing. We react to life, but mothers will tell us, don't react too harshly. Don't react too quickly. Give God time. Sometimes it takes time for God to work things out, but He does a far better job than we do. I mentioned grandmothers and great-grandmothers being able to minister in the lives of children. In Titus chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Likewise, teach the older women," this would be the mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers, "likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so no one will malign the word of God." Folks, our ministry, whether you're an older man or an older woman, we're talking especially about women today, but your ministry doesn't stop when your children grow up. You went through some of the troubles of raising children, and now your children are doing exactly the same. Don't get to be a busybody in their lives, But when you see something where you think just a word of encouragement might help them, by all means, speak up. Let them know that that child that's rebellious today in about 10 years is going to be their best friend. Because that's the way it works. When I was 16, my dad and my mother knew almost nothing. When I was 25 and I started having my own children, I realized my mom and dad knew a lot. But you have to experience it. And that's where the older ladies come in here. Ladies, you have a ministry to the younger ladies in your family, in your church, in those that you know. You can help them. In Deuteronomy 29:29, one of the greatest promises that God has given, to me this is one of the great ones. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. You see, maybe you didn't get saved like I did till 25. But then I started learning about the Lord, and my wife did too. And we were able to bring our children right up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We didn't pound it into them, but we encouraged it in them. And then we got to do the same thing with our grandchildren. And now we're going to do the great thing with our great-grandchildren, and you can too. The things that you've learned over life aren't just for you. They're for the next generations to come. And God has given, I love to mention this, whether you know it or not, God has given over 7,000 promises in His Word. Moms, dads, future moms and dads, you need to learn those promises because they're there. They're available to whosoever will. And you get to tell your children, yes, things are rough right now, but here's a promise from God's Word you can put into your heart. You can overcome this thing. It's so important. A little boy was asked by his teacher one day, if you had a pie and you had 7 people in your family, you had 5 children and mom and dad, how many pieces would you have to cut that pie into? And the little boy said, 6. And the teacher said, don't you know anything about fractions? If you got 7 people in your family, how many pieces of pie would you have? You'd have 7. And the little boy said, no. He said, I know all about fractions, but I know my mother. She would say, I don't want any pie. Folks, mothers do that all the time, don't they? We used to have, we had 8 children in our family when I was a boy, and I can't tell you how many times we'd have 2 pork chops apiece, and my mother would eat one, meal after meal after meal. Why? Because she's got 7 growing boys and 1 older girl, and I got to tell you, she shared. She gave all the time, and I can't tell you how many mothers I know, that's exactly the truth. She would say, I don't want any pie, even though she did want some pie. Why? Because her heart is with her family. She loves them. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, it says, these are the commands and decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and your children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Folks, what you know about God, you need to instruct your children. We think, well, what I teach my children really won't matter much. Do you know that they realize now that 50% of everything a child's ever going to know, they're going to learn in the first 5 years of their life? Adolf Hitler's secretary of communication or propaganda, whichever you want to call it, said, you give me a child until they're 8 years old, and you can give that child to anybody else you want because the foundation is laid. Folks, those precious years that God gives you before your children even get to school, those are the years to be teaching. We talked about Abraham Lincoln and his mother wanting so much for him to read the Bible. Folks, it makes a difference how children are raised. So a few principles for mothers and future mothers are found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bound them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. When your children ask, but Mom, how can I know God's will for my life? You better know 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Your children need to know that the foundation of your life is the Word of God, because that's going to go a long ways in their life to saying, maybe the foundation for my life should be the Word of God as well. What a precious promise we have in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, that's teaching your children, rebuking, because sometimes they need it, correcting, they need to know the right way, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. They'll say, well, how can I keep doing good when I want to do wrong? Again, moms, you need to know Psalm 119, verse 9, another very important promise. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Not what I feel like, not what I desire, but Lord, I founded my life just as my mom did, just as my dad did, on your word. You say this is wrong, even though I want it with all my heart, I'm going to say, not now. It's wrong for now. Maybe it'll be right later. But when we lay those foundations, we're teaching our children how to live a life that honors God and that blesses them. Godly mothers teach their children that following God's way will take some courage. And we say, why does it take courage to walk with God? Because God tells us his way of thinking is not our way. We would like God to think the way we think, but he doesn't. And that's scary to follow somebody who doesn't think the way I think. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God talking to the Jewish people, but it's God talking to us too. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It's scary following somebody who doesn't think the way I think, but he thinks better than I think. One of the richest men in the world right now, Warren Buffett, he handles one of the big investment companies. Anyhow, he's retiring at the end of this year. 97 years old, very smart man. How would you like to have Warren Buffett invest your money? Do you think you'd make a profit? He's been making billions of dollars for umpteen years. He's one of the best. There's somebody far smarter than Warren Buffett. God has been running things for over 6,000 years that we know of on this earth. He knows what he's doing. And what he's asking parents is to trust him enough to teach their children that they can trust him. He will direct your steps if you'll acknowledge him and stop thinking, I know what I want, and ignoring what God wants. God made all of us for a reason. And once we understand that, we can live differently. We can say, even though I don't understand where God's taking me, I'm going to trust him. He knows what he's doing. He loves me. He's going to do what's best for me. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, another one of those 7,000 wonderful promises. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you'll be at war. One of the kings, the Lord told him to do something, and he didn't do it because he didn't trust him. Well, the Lord said, you made a choice. You know, we are free to make our choices, aren't we? But we are not free of what the results of those choices are going to be. We need to learn to choose wisely, to choose the way the Lord would have us. Godly mothers teach their children to live by faith. Oftentimes in life, it strikes me, and I'm sure it struck you the same way, if I do what God commands me to do, and I know what he told me to do, but if I do it, there's no way this is going to work out right for me. No way. It happens a lot. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous will what? In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, the righteousness by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by what they can see. Is that what it says? That's not what it says, is it? The righteous will live by their own wisdom. That's not what it says. The righteous will live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God and in God's word. That's how the righteous are going to live. The unrighteous live by what I think is best. Now, that's the way 90% of the people on this earth live. I live what I and my wisdom have figured out is best for me. And that's not a bad thing, except that it's not going to bring you the blessings of God. A lot of people live that way, but you don't have to. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says that by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. When I was a young man, I thought people were going to get to heaven by what they did. I found out that's not the way we get there. We get there by faith in what God has done. Not what I'm going to do, but what God has done. And that's the difference between faith and thinking. The natural man thinks, I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm doing good things. I'm doing nice things. God says that's not the way it's going to work. There's going to be a lot of really wonderful people. Neighbors, maybe, that you had that were the best neighbors anybody could ever have. And they're not going to make it to heaven. Why? Because they tried to do it by being a good person. There are going to be some of the most despicable neighbors you ever had that are going to get to heaven because they came to the knowledge of faith. Folks, faith is the victory. God has never failed one time to keep all 7,000 of those promises for all billions of people that have lived on this earth. We can trust him. As parents, mothers, and dads, we get to teach our children another one of those special truths found in God's word in Isaiah 54:17. When our children are afraid to obey because it's going to wind up not good, the Lord gives a promise. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you'll refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me. What is God saying there? He's saying to Johnny, who you're telling don't fight with Billy because it's not going to do you any good, because as soon as you beat Billy, then Freddie, who's even stronger, is going to want to challenge you. And when you beat Freddie, who's stronger than Billy, Harry's going to get after you. The wisdom that we have, the promise of God, we'll be able to refute every tongue. Why? Because God's on our side. We're doing what God told us to do. And when we do it God's way, God says, yes, Billy may give you a bloody nose. But that's not the end of the story, is it? 20 years later, who's going to care? Nobody's going to care. What's going to make a difference is I trusted God in this thing, and God proved himself faithful. Godly mothers teach their children to wait on the Lord. Oh, man, waiting. You go on vacation. You're taking a drive down to Florida. How many times do those little children say, are we there yet? I want to get to Disney World. Come on. When are we going to get there? Folks, teaching your children to wait on the Lord, his timing, his purpose, makes all the difference in the world. In Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Why do children have to learn that? Because children are so impatient. You know, as we get older now, things that seem to take a while, we don't really care anymore. I don't. I know how it's going to work. I've been around long enough. But a little child, if you got to wait a week for something to happen, that's a quarter of my life. Come on, that's a long time. Folks, when God says wait, it's for one of three reasons. Number one, it may be because you're not ready for what God has for you. A child who says, I want to marry Mary next door, who's 10 years old, are they ready for marriage? No, we laugh about that, but there are those kids that say, I just love this girl, I want to marry her. Well, that'll be good. In about 10 or 15 years, that'd be fine. But not yet. The circumstance, number two, that God is preparing for you is not yet ready. God's preparing something. You have to wait. When mom's making a pie and you start to smell it, you want it when? You want it now. But it's not done yet. The dough will still be mushy and gooshy, and the apples won't be cooked. You have to wait for good things. And number three, God may know that what you want is not good for you. It may not be the right thing for you. And when mother can teach her children that, what a blessing that is when the child can say, okay, much as I don't want to wait, I'm just going to wait and see what God has. That's a valuable lesson. In Isaiah 64:4, it says, since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on the behalf of those who wait for him. Our God acts on our behalf when we say, okay, Lord, your timing. This is what my heart desires, but your timing on this. Godly mothers teach their children to give carefully and cheerfully to the Lord's work. And again, I've said this a million times in this church. I don't believe the entire tithe goes to the church. I know a lot of churches teach that. That's up to them. I believe God's money should be set aside. Set aside where? Set aside by you. And when God says the time is right, you've got a kitty to help and do whatever you think God would have. Some money obviously must go to the church, but not all of it. If you've got a neighbor girl down the road that needs shoes, and you can say, well, honey, I've got money saved up. Let me take you down to the store and buy you some shoes. What a blessing that is to the child. What a blessing it is to you. The Bible says every one of you should store up by himself for when God taps you on the shoulder and says, this is the one. I want to encourage you in this to teach your children that. I and Mimi got saved when Shane, our oldest boy, was only one. And so we were able to raise our children with the knowledge that as we gave them their allowance, and they had to do little chores, they earned it, but some of that had to be set aside for God's work. Some of it had to go to the church, and some of it had to go wherever they wanted it, but we had to teach that. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, promises of God again. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. As it is written, they freely scatter their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Folks, when our children were little, we taught them to tithe their allowance to the Lord at the local church. They maybe only got a dollar when they were 3-4 years old, but 10 cents had to go to the church. They learned early that giving a little bit over time adds up. A lot of people say, well, I just can't give a lot. But folks, if you just give a little over time, stop and multiply it up, how much difference that makes. And when you can teach your children young that God promises to bless those that are generous, not just with their church, but with their friends, with those that are in need all around us. And all at once your children open their eyes and they see, man, there's a whole world of need out here. Not just the church, but my buddy at school's got an old ripped up shirt and nobody's doing anything about it. I'm going to help him get a shirt. What a wonderful blessing that is. In Luke 6:38, another wonderful promise out of those 7,000. Give, and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Stop and think of that. With what you give to others, God is going to give it to you. And our God is the multiplier. He doesn't just use addition. He turns that add sign a little bit to the side, and it's a multiplication sign. As you give to the Lord, he's going to bless you. And that's something very early you want to teach your children. It'll be a lifetime habit with them. Godly mothers teach their children they cannot live the Christian life. Christ must live it in them. Young people think, I can do this. The Bible says nobody can do this except Christ. He has to live his life through you because you can't do it. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We read in the Old Testament, where in the Old Testament times, if people wanted to please God, they had to keep the law. Do you and I have to keep the law today? I praise God, no, we don't. It's a wonderful thing. Christ has set us free from the demands of the law. We now live how? By faith. We walk close to Christ. We do what pleases him, but we don't worry about every jot and tittle. That was the downfall of the Jewish people. They got caught up in the law thinking that was the way to make things right with God. And the Bible says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will ever be justified in God's sight. Old Testament, New Testament. All those people that tried to keep the law, they found out they couldn't. All of us fail there. And so today we walk with Jesus Christ by faith, and as we walk close to him, he lives his life through us. In John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus said, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Folks, do you understand? I can't do what God wants me to do, but Jesus Christ can do it through me. If I stay connected to him, he'll live his life through me, and then I can walk with God. A little boy was told that his mother, that it's God who makes people good. And a little boy said, yeah, I know it's God who makes people good, but mums sure help. And they do. As they teach their children, mothers teach their children God's way. It says in Proverbs 31:28, Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works begin her praise at the city gate. Folks, a godly mother, a mother who was there for you, who helped you, who raised you, is to be praised. A little poem called Hands. This is talking about a little bit older mother now. I held her hand in mine last night, hands so thin and worn, and they held mine just as tightly as the day that I was born. Those gentle and expressive hands, etched by work and care, have folded over my bedside many times in humble prayer. They washed for me, they fed me, they've helped me be a man. There's something of our Lord Himself in every mother's hands. Folks, and it's absolutely true, a godly mother, a woman who fears the Lord, is to be greatly, greatly praised. Father, we're grateful for our mothers. We're grateful for the gift you've put into women's hearts to love their children. Father, bless each one here, each mother, each future mother. Encourage them, Lord, to walk through this life with you, that those 7,000 promises might be true for them and true for their children as well. And Father, we're going to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.